BBC Radio 1. BBC Radio 1 free downloads. Download them all for free at the Radio 1 website.
Hello, here is Tuesday's Scott Mills Daily Podcast. We discover this guy off of America.
It was great. And apparently, I've never been on live television before.
Also, Tiger Drew Honey plays innuendo bingo. Before the new series of Cuckoo starts tonight on BBC Three, it's a wet one. Greg James plays Real or No Real, and I'm actually quite offended. Why won't Chris let me sign his passport? Black Eyed Peas, I Got a Feeling. Kinda makes you ready for Friday, right? This is Scott Mills. Coming up at 1:45 today, we have got Innuendo Bingo with Tiger Drew Honey. Now, he was on that show that we talked about a while back. Well, he did a lot of dating, didn't he, of girls?
That was it. Wasn't it his experience in the world of dating?
Yeah, so he was talking about like how many young people do a lot of online dating now on things like Tinder and just hooking up.
But he was, I mean, he was almost like the Grandmaster General at it, wasn't he? I mean, he was almost like the king of this thing.
So many dates.
Didn't he? I'm dated out, to be honest. I mean, I've had a lot of fun, but dating that many people just to try and find the one is really quite exhausting.
So many dates, so little time.
It was Tiger Takes On. He took on various different things for BBC Three.
That's it.
And this was one of the episodes. I think this episode started with him basically getting rid of the current girlfriend. Wasn't working out.
Somebody that he wasn't seeing.
Oh, that was it.
I know, was seeing, but
was
not
seeing,
his girlfriend.
But didn't want to regress it. King, yeah. He's basically the king of dating.
Yes, he is. And he is going to be on this show at 1:45 today.
How old is he?
I think 19, 20.
I mean, he. It's fair to say he's doing much better than when I was 18 or 19.
Does that annoy you slightly?
Maybe.
Anyway, so what, with girls, you mean, or just generally in life?
Well, he's very confident.
Both,
with
I
it.
Think, yeah. No, I'm looking forward to this. Tiger Drew Honey will be on at 1:45 today, playing Innuendo Bingo. You can watch it on the Radio 1 website. Also, we have developed our Edinburgh idea for what we're going to do on Monday night a little bit more. I liked that meeting we had yesterday. It felt well official.
Right.
And we'll let you in into what we're going to do, what we want to do, with Matthew Lewis, who's in Harry Potter, obviously, and Bluestone 4-2 and The Syndicate. You know Matt Lewis.
Mm.
Big fan of the show. Responsible for the most views ever on Innuendo Bingo. 1.5 million, almost, I think. So we're with him on Monday night. We're doing a late night slot, so it can be a little bit rude.
The Scott Mills Daily. BBC Radio 1.
I'm quite offended, Chris, today.
Why is that?
Because you won't let me sign your passport.
Yeah, right. So I need to renew my passport for this trip. It's just another problem that seems to have emerged from me booking a holiday. Apparently you've got to have a passport that's 6 months in date, right?
Yeah, that's quite normal.
So I'm going about this and I've got to get it done today.
Should have gone to Malia, mate.
I wouldn't have this problem, I don't. Well, maybe I would.
Yeah, you would.
But anyway, I've got to get someone to countersign my passport application.
Yeah, and what's your problem with me?
It needs to be a person of good standing in the community.
Yes.
And a professional. So I think the categories that I saw for it were things like banker, lawyer, teacher, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But you've got really offended because I've said, do we know anyone here who's one of those people? Or journalist? You're allowed journalist.
I mean, yeah, but you were going to ask Chris Smith off the news. I'm well within my rights to sign that.
Well, you're not, because it's my application. So no, you're not within your rights
to sign
it.
Okay, not my rights, but I'm qualified.
But what you're offended about is you don't think your job... Well, no, you think your job should count, and
yes,
I don't think it does.
I'm a national broadcaster.
But that's the thing, I don't think I can write just on the form DJ. Do you know, I think it looks a little, it won't look.
Don't put DJ,
enough.
Put broadcaster, it sounds better.
Are you, is that technically what you can call yourself? Or?
Oh my God. Do you see why I'm offended?
And also, is there something that you can pep it up with? Is there anything else you can add to that? I mean, working at the BBC is pretty cool.
I've been in this business for a lot of years.
I know, but I can't write that in the amount of squares that they give me.
What do you mean? I'm sorry, I'm not a vicar.
Well, that's the thing. I think that's what I need, really. I don't need a national broadcaster.
Right. I'm sure there's someone off of Passports listening. Right, am I eligible to sign his passport today?
I love that you're so offended by
I'm
this.
Really offended. So, oh, here we go. Here's some small print.
So here we go. So we're talking bank or building society officials, police officers, civil servants,
same.
Ministers of religion, and people with professional qualifications.
Yes.
Accountants, engineers, solicitors. Journalists is listed as well. But I don't think you're one of those, really.
But however, I am a doctor.
I don't know. I don't think I can have someone who's been on Hole in the Wall signing my passport.
Yes, you can.
Or an extra in Hollyoaks.
I'm really offended by this. I've done better things than that as well.
If they look into it, they're going to see Paul Lang from Holby City as a credit.
That's good.
It's not serious, mate.
That means I'm an actor as well.
I don't know.
Right, okay, so if Matt Damon was in here, you'd get him to sign it, wouldn't you?
I would, because he's an actor, same. He's got good standing in the community.
I'm on Radio 1!
I don't know...
What are you talking about?
Also, would you say you're a community leader figure?
I'm a Doctor of Arts. Someone says you can get a pub landlord to sign it.
I don't know about you.
Someone says, I think Chris is eligible for a slap. Well, yes.
I would
tend to agree.
I do need to renew it, though.
Yes. That's fine. I'll sign it. Give it here.
My pitch has changed a lot.
Give it here.
I will let you sign it.
Will you?
Yeah. Just because you're bugging me with it now.
I've met One Direction. Let me sign it.
Yeah, but I don't think you can write that on the form.
You can. I'd love that. Where are you going? Bali. They're massive there.
Right.
If you have any problems, just go, look, he's met One Direction. And then, I'll send you a photo to prove it.
And if they call for a reference, you'll take that seriously?
Absolutely, yes. Right. Not a withstanding person in the community. How rude. BBC Radio 1. The Scott Mills Daily. And here's Tiger Drew Honey. Hello.
Hello, how are you?
Really good. Thank you for coming in today.
My pleasure.
We are going to play Innuendo Bingo in a moment. Are you aware of this game, Tiger?
Yeah.
It gets wet.
I haven't actually got a change of clothes.
Oh.
No, you do look quite overdressed for the occasion.
I know you've got it's like you're going out.
Well, no, I don't know. I'd like to try and wear nice clothes, I guess.
Is this not your going out clothes? Because this would be this would be a bit too fashionable for me as going out clothes.
That'd be his best outfit.
Red
this is just his day wear.
Exactly. So your going out wear must be very flamboyant.
Yeah, fair enough. I've got a pair of bright tartan trousers and I like patterns and things.
Just like your clothes, don't you?
Yeah, I don't mind clothes.
So, new series of Cuckoo is on tonight.
Tonight.
So, if for anyone that's not seen it before, and it did really well on BBC Three, what's it about? What's the general idea of it?
Well, the general idea of Cuckoo, the first series was, the star was Andy Samberg, he played Cuckoo. And in the first series, just before it starts, my sister's gone on a gap year, and in the first episode, she comes back married to a hippie 15 years her senior.
Yes.
And he moves in with us. And... whatever ensues. And then the second series, unfortunately, Andy was actually busy. So he's not around. He's doing Brooklyn Nine-Nine. But we got another fantastic American star, Taylor Lautner, with some very, very clever writing. Cuckoo's died, and this is his long-lost son tracking him down. Oh. And then he ends up coming into our family. And again, whatever ensues.
That is clever, isn't it?
Mm.
Now, Taylor Lautner's Twilight, right?
Yes, he is.
He's the big star guy, that one, yeah.
What was he like to work with?
Do you know what? He was actually really, really lovely. I was a bit apprehensive. I thought, you know, he'd be nice, but he might have been a bit...
Starry.
Starry, yeah, but not at all. Really, really talented, lovely guy.
Right, okay. And how did it come about that he was in it?
Well, I don't know really. I think, you know, he got sent... They realised that Andy wasn't available, so yeah. I think they knew they wanted to get a big American star. That was their aim. I think they... got in touch with his management and stuff, showed him the script, he watched the first series, absolutely loved it. And I remember he did say to me, he was like, you know, I just wanted to get away from the Hollywood machine a bit to do something British and a bit smaller, I guess.
How brilliant is that?
Mm.
You two on a night out must be a force.
Well, we did go out once, actually, and it was a really good night, but he wears a baseball cap and sunglasses and stuff.
So you weren't allowed in many places? Or?
Well, not that, but...
going to the Yates's with that outfit on.
It's just sort of... because we all went out for a meal and stuff, and obviously he is very recognisable, so he's got to wear really nice clothes and then a baseball cap.
Right.
Chris is going to Bali soon, so that's kind of his gap year. He's doing doing it in about, 2 weeks?
Yeah.
Right.
It's a gap year condensed into
two weeks.
Yeah.
Have you ever done anything like
spreading
that?
Spreading my wings.
Well, no, I haven't, because, I mean...
You've always been working.
Pretty much. Since I was about 9, 10, I've been working, and I'm like 18 and a half now.
Yes.
So, I'd love to just sort of go somewhere for a year and not do anything, but I haven't really had the point... at which I've had, I've been able to afford to just take a year off, if you get me.
18 and a half. You see, the thing is, I can't help but compare and contrast our lives.
That, Chris always like does this do with every guest.
Make me feel inadequate, because at 18 and a half, I didn't even know which way in the bath to lie down.
No, that is true.
And how old are you now, Chris?
I'm 27 now.
Okay.
Yeah, so I need to crack on a little bit with the...
You don't need to compare yourself to anyone else.
No?
No, it's fine.
You're you.
Yeah.
What was quite funny was we were talking about the Tiger Takes On series on BBC Three, and when you had to date a lot of girls, you said it was exhausting. And Chris was like, oh, it's all right for some.
Yeah, but no, the thing is, there was this one day that I did, this one shoot day, it was absolutely hectic. I think I got up at like 6 or something, and I had my first date before 7:30, and I did something like 14 dates that day. And one of them, which actually didn't make it into the edit, unfortunately, but I had to go and get a guitar and literally stand on the street and try and serenade girls walking past me. And I actually ended up getting a date. I was just singing, and there was like this girl walking past, and I was like singing to her, and she was like, oh, okay. And I was like, do you want to go for a drink? And she was like, yeah. I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
I think my least favourite bit of it, though, was when you were... You were pulling someone, but you were looking at the camera.
Yeah,
quite far away in the club, looking down on you, and it was kind of weird watching you both sort of elope.
That was that was a funny bit.
And you're staring straight at the camera as well. I was like, oh, yeah.
I thought it'd make for an interesting shot.
Yeah, always see, always working.
Yeah.
Even when getting off of someone, always working. Okay, right, so we're going to play Oliver Dollar and Pushing On. Tiger Drew Honey is about to play Innuendo Bingo with us. Are you prepared to go fully in and get wet today?
Yeah, man, yeah.
Okay, right. It's going to be on the Radio 1 website. You can watch it in 3 minutes from now.
It's time to witness the wetness. This is Innuendo Bingo.
If you are watching on the Radio 1 website at the moment, you will see that sat opposite each other are Chris off of this show and Tiger Drew Honey. They've just had a manly handshake and they're ready to play the game. To warn you, Tiger, the first spray is quite cold.
Deepest.
It's the deepest. So don't... please don't swear. Some people go... But, you know, I reckon you're going to take it all in your stride. It's just worrying a little bit that you don't have any change of clothes at all. What have you got to do after this?
Actually nothing.
That's
no,
good.
So I'm just going home.
Okay.
Well, I respect that, though. I respect that slightly more, actually.
What?
Lack of spare clothes.
Do you?
Yeah.
Did they ask you to bring in spare clothes?
No.
There's something quite honourable about it.
It is good.
It's like being a man, I think.
Yeah, it's very
fair
manly.
Play, fair play.
Okay, here we go then.
Right,
so,
cheers.
You can watch us now on the Radio 1 website. Get to a screen, put the Radio 1 website on it, bbc.co.uk/radio1, on your phone, on your tablet, on your computer, watch it at work. Maybe you've got a spare 5 minutes. Watching it is so much better. Here we go. So, normally... with a celebrity guest, we start with kind of like a gentle clip to try and break them in. But Tiger, I think you can take this. You've probably heard a lot of innuendo in your life. So we cross to a mixed martial arts fight on American TV. Now, this fight has two commentators for the TV. And while one of them is focused on the game, the other seems to be watching something quite different.
You watch one, I'll watch the other, Michael.
I'll watch minus.
Yeah. See what I mean? I know. Feel free to get him back.
Oh, right.
At any point. I know. Yeah. I know. It's only a matter of time. I know. I understand the sign language.
You watch one, I'll watch the other, Michael.
I didn't even play the whole thing.
You watch one, I'll watch the other, Michael.
I'll watch minus.
That's a fight between Zach Chavez and Danny Minus there. More water, please. No, he's still full of water. Here we go.
Oh, no, you're not recycling, are you?
Do remember to spray. Not in the bin, at Chris's face. Back to the fight.
Minus has relaxed here, Pat.
Yeah, straight in the head. we'll return to that fight a bit later on to find out how Minus is doing, but at the moment...
Minus has relaxed here.
Good. More water, please. Nice big gulp of water there. Don't be shy. Don't be shy.
I'll watch minus.
No No hands. That's it. Come on. No hands, please. If it's going to flood out, let it flood out. Okay, over to last night's Coronation Street now. And our Deirdre seems to be getting more and more adventurous with age.
Oh, love. Oh, Rob. Come here, let's have a three-way.
Deirdre!
Oh, I'm soaked.
I know. That's the way it goes.
Deirdre Barlow there. I can see my nipples.
Yes, you can. It's totally see-through.
You can actually see them. Wicked.
Deirdre Barlow there.
Come here, let's have a three-way.
Three-way hug there for Deirdre. Thank you, Luke, for spotting that one. Any more clips? scott.mills@bbc.co.uk. Send an email. Tell us what channel, what they said, and a rough time. OK, now our favourite clip from Tuesday now. More water, please. And it's BBC Solent presenter Sam Fraser. Mm-hmm. Now, she had a very busy weekend.
So, that was quite a new experience. The wind in my hair wrapped my legs around Jonathan. He took me up the bypass and we had an amazing, very brief adventure.
Sam there, who had a motorbike ride down south. I mean, on the south coast. There.
Oh, it'd be a great job finding them, wouldn't it?
Wouldn't it? He does this twice a week, Tiger. Can you imagine? Water, please. Right, let's see how Minus is doing.
Minus is relaxed here, Pat.
Okay. Just wanted an update. Okay. Now, water?
Got water, mate.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Over to the mixed martial arts again. It sounds like this would be quite painful.
Minus getting beaten on.
What's the back of the head?
Oh. Lots from that fight, isn't there, today? Listen to his little laugh. Okay, let's carry on. Tiger, you might want to fill up even more, to fill up the cheeks even more there, just to retaliate. Now, thank you to one of our American listeners who unearthed this new stash of clips that we're playing, by the way. I would thank you by name, but I accidentally deleted the email. Sorry, won't do it again. Get back in touch and I'll read out. A classic from the Antiques Roadshow now. And I really don't think it was a good idea for Fiona Bruce to be discussing this sort of thing on that show. People's grandparents watch this.
Hannah Forty couldn't afford to drink this bar water, but she was the town's pumper, handing it out to paying visitors.
That's one of my favourites.
But she was the town's pumper, handing it out to paying visitors.
Oh. Tiger's fine. So let's continue to last night's 10 o'clock news now on In Your Bingo. And reporter James Landale with news on what big-name politicians like to get up to in the evening.
For years, Boris Johnson has dodged questions about his future. But today, the Mayor of London finally threw his hat, or at least his helmet, into the West.
into the Westminster Ring as well.
Or at least his helmet into the Westminster Ring.
Juan Carlos sent us that one. That's a good one. scott.mills@bbc.co.uk.
Or at least his helmet into the Westminster Ring.
Okay, water please. You're watching, listening to Tiger Drew Honey on Innuendo Bingo. Loads of people watching for the first time today. Now, who remembers Danny Maenas?
Maenas is relaxed here, Pat. Yeah.
You know the you know the MMC fighter?
Maenas getting beaten on.
Yeah, so anyway, we pick up the fight at 8 minutes in. And I've got to tell you, things are really starting to go wrong for this guy.
Sharp is blinking heavily. Maenas is in a bit of pain here.
No one wants that.
Oh, God. Maenas is in a bit of pain here.
Oof.
Oh, gosh.
Just one more clip to go. Oh. And it's another classic, this time from Desert Island Discs, with author and former jockey Richard Francis. Water. And after chatting to her guest for nearly an hour, the presenter dares to ask this very forward question.
Do you still ride Dick, if only for fun?
Jeez.
Do you still ride Dick, if only for fun?
Dick Francis there, who doesn't ride horses that often anymore. Oh, hang on, I found another one. Oh, water, please.
Okay. Oh, it's wet today.
Mm. Mm-hmm. It's a good one today. Got your water there?
Mm-hmm.
Back to the fight.
Don Face has called time. Mina's taking a thumb. Oh. Don Face has called time. Anus taking a thumb.
No one was expecting that.
Anus has the best of your life.
Ow. And that was Tiger Drew Honey on Innuendo Bingo.
Well played, man.
That was a great game. Thank you for watching. Thank you for listening. And don't forget, Cuckoo, new series tonight, 10 o'clock on BBC Three. Thanks, Tiger.
Thank you.
That was a great bingo today. Thank you very much to Tiger Drew Honey, Stephen, Alfie, Kaylee on Twitter. Also, Sean, he says, I'm in traffic and the whole queue of traffic is in fits of laughter at today's bingo. Pure gold, says Nina. Watching Innuendo Bingo with my nan, says Katie. I don't think she understands most of them. I think that's probably best. If you didn't watch the video live, if you didn't see it screaming live, we will get a video up for you on the YouTubes as soon as we can.
Do you still ride Dick, if only for fun?
The Scott Mills Daily.
And Adele set fire to the rain. You've seen her house is up for sale.
How much?
I don't know how much.
You keen?
I'm saying 6 million. I seem to remember it being 6 million. Nice West Sussex house there, lush.
Does it have a moat?
I think so, but I just don't really feel the need for that many bedrooms. Yeah. Otherwise, I'd be well interested.
Oh.
That was set fire to the rain.
It's blatantly well nice, though, isn't it?
Yes, it is. We found it. It's good, isn't it?
Does it have any? Does it have like a statue of her?
I would think so.
Oh God, it does look good, Scott.
Mm.
Yeah, check this. Multiple swimming pools. Swimming pools, tennis courts, and a helicopter pad.
Yes!
That's how you roll in the deep.
Yes, it is. A lot of people are asking, why wasn't Great British Bake Off from last night on Innuendo Bingo? I don't know whether you remember, but for the last couple of series, we've kind of eased off Bake Off on Bingo because they know what they're doing. It's like they've declared war on Innuendo Bingo. So we struck it off a while ago because they are doing it deliberately. They're having their own game there.
But I saw loads of tweets from people yesterday saying,
oh my God,
I've got Great British Bake Off. You need to see this. You need to see it. I mean, there were so many tweets.
So many.
I assume today's Innuendo Bingo is going to be full of it. So what are you saying? You've vetted it and you think it's too... they're too in the know. So
yeah, they are.
Count.
Because they know... You can hear it. They know exactly what they're doing. So I don't think they count. I think the innuendos on bingo need to be when they don't realise they're doing it.
What were they cooking with last night? Was it nuts or something like that? Right, okay.
Nuts, cherries.
Right, oh, I see.
There was some flans. We struck them off. And thank you very much for getting in touch, because I do appreciate it when you do take the time to tell us about them. But for now, I think we're going to have to avoid.
So you're just issuing a ban on Great British Bake Off innuendo?
No harm against the show, because it's a great show. But I just think they know what they're doing. For instance, from last night.
Perfect nuts.
Wow. To be commended on your nuts by Mary Berry. You've had a great day, now.
See what I mean?
It's still Mary Berry saying.
Perfect nuts.
It's good, though, isn't it? And then...
You have got 2 hours to pop Mary's cherry in the oven and bring it out again.
You see what I mean?
Right.
It's just a bit... They know what they're doing.
I don't know. It's...
Would you like me to include them?
I think it's an iffy call from you, though.
Perfect nuts.
You like that, yeah?
Yeah. I think it's just because it's her saying it.
Perfect nuts.
I don't know. Maybe you're right now. Maybe I'm rethinking this.
You have got 2 hours to pop Mary's cherry in the oven and bring it out again.
See, you would spit on that, wouldn't you?
I think it's good.
You really would. Okay. Maybe I'm wrong on this. But thank you for all the emails and the tweets from last night. So many of them.
The Scott Mills Daily. BBC Radio 1.
This is annoying. My selfie stick hasn't arrived yet.
Has it not?
No, it said today. It said guaranteed next day delivery. Where is it?
Okay, well, I'm sure it will come. Calm down.
This is the thing we were talking about yesterday. Massive in Asia. And since we mentioned it, people were listening to the show via our podcast yesterday in Asia, in places like the Philippines and Thailand and Malaysia, and saying that, yes, the selfie stick is massive there. It's just an extendable stick that you can hold in your arm,
to make the selfie better. So you just put your phone in one end of the stick, hold it up, perfect selfie.
Tourists are particularly loving it. Yeah. I love how many people are sending photos in of people using the selfie stick. In fact, I needed it yesterday. Right, so I was out and about in Pinner, and because you text me about this,
I was like, "Oh, sad bookshop face."
Okay, right. So I'll tell you the full story. So there's this bookshop in Pinner that I guess anyone in that area would have gone to as a child. Anyway, it's closing down, and I was quite sad about that.
It is a shame because bookshops are becoming her.
Right, and I was really sad about that. So I decided to take a picture of me in front of it, looking sincere, and put up on Twitter just saying, really sad that this bookshop in Pinner is closing down. I went there as a kid.
So that was a selfie, but with half your face missing.
Yeah, but I couldn't get everything into to the thing. It was a perfect excuse for a selfie stick. Then everyone started tweeting about you need your selfie stick. And then you text me just saying, sad bookshop face.
Yeah.
Where's your selfie stick? Have some
you
respect.
You did have sad bookshop closing face. But it was a bit hard, wasn't it, to get like the sign from the shop and your face in, you see. That's why we need them. The Scott Mills Daily. So we've been saying this for a while. We're going to be in Edinburgh on Monday. This show will come from Edinburgh from the festival next Monday between 1 and 4. Then we're doing that weird thing off air where Chris interviews me, fully booked.
That's going to be great.
Fully booked. And then on Monday night, we're part of Phil and Alice's comedy show, live from the Edinburgh Festival. You'll be able to watch it on the red button as well.
I think this is the most exciting bit as well.
We've been told it's allowed to be a little bit late night, so that's good. Just as well, really, with what we've got planned. So we'll let you into this now. We've told you already that Matthew Lewis, the actor, is going to be with us in Edinburgh, taking part in our 10-minute slot on the Phil and Alice show. But here's the idea. So, do you know fan fiction? It's all over the internet. If you don't know it, it's basically about characters or about settings and situations not written by the original authors of the work, but just written by fans of it. So it can be for like pop stars like One Direction or 5 Seconds of Summer. It can be for massive things like Twilight or Harry Potter. But it's not written by the people that wrote them originally. It's written by fans.
But I mean, it is amazing because people can just use their imagination and write about anything, literally anything. It can be their fantasies.
Yeah.
It can be wanting to see their favourite characters in a weird, I don't know, in a weird job or just doing weird. So you can make them do anything.
Yeah. So, I mean, these are people that you will know, but put in different situations, and that's all up to the writer's imagination.
I mean, they can
be
quite sick.
They can be sick. They can be quite sexual and rude at times, but they're very rarely published. It's just all that there on the internet for people to read. So it'll be the original characters, but in your mind, you can write them into all different sorts of situations. So here, for instance, here's a fan fiction, and there's so many of these, like billions, for Harry Styles. This is written by someone called All Harry's Little Things.
He withdrew slightly before my hand made contact with his face. It was clearly unexpected from the expression of anger commandeering his tight features. His left cheek was branded with a pink tinge before aggressively gripping hold of my forearms. "I can tell you're going to be a challenge," he almost growled. "I like that," he smirked.
You see? So you like can create your own fantasy about Harry Styles. That's fan fiction. There's quite a lot about me, and I don't know why. Here's one about when I met One Direction.
We walked inside the studio, which was actually quite small. I took a seat behind Liam, who had a headset and microphone in front of him. "Good morning, boys," Scott said, leaning into the mic. "How are you today?"
"This is so weird."
"Wonderful," they said in unison. "Well, it's great to have you here. So tell me, what have you been up to lately?" "Well, we have the final coming up soon," Louis said. "Which we should be rehearsing for," Liam added. "I see Liam is the responsible one here," Scott laughed. "Yeah," Niall said. "He's the father of the band." "Ah," Scott sighed.
You see, so you can just make up conversations that I've had with One Direction.
Do you like that you've got no control of it as well? Like, someone's gone, right, I'm going to write Scott Mills into this fan fiction, and then you're... Exactly, yeah, that's so against what you would like.
I don't like it.
People just put it in their own hands and just writing their own fan fiction about you. It's quite weird.
I don't think stars probably read their own fan fiction.
No, it's what is worrying, the amount of power... That you're basically powerless in the situation. Anyone can write what they want about you, and it can make you really uncomfortable.
Yeah, you can make me do whatever I want. And like, even listening to that, then I was a bit like, oh, because it's about me. Do you want to hear one about you?
There can't be one.
Yes,
about
there is. You remember when you did that interview with Mila Kunis?
Yeah.
Well, here's what somebody kind of imagined would happen in their own head in their fan fiction about Mila and Chris. This is written by Ginger Tips.
Oh, I don't know if I want to hear this.
Exactly.
Really.
See, it is uncomfortable and it's about you, right? So you went for burritos with her. So it's got its own category called burrito fic. It's burrito fiction.
I don't want to be in a burrito fic.
Yeah. Hey, Mila. Wait up, Mila. Chris tried to catch up to Mila. Oh, hey, Chris. Nice interview, by the way. Nice and awkward at that. Hee-hee-hee, she giggled. So, I was wondering, want to take up my offer to go to the pub, he asked. How about we get a burrito instead, she asked. I'm in the mood for Mexican. So they went to Chipotle and had three burritos each, maybe overdoing it. They didn't think so. And so they got a hotel room because they mutually love burritos with all of their hearts. And then they had it off.
You can't write that.
I wasn't expecting that.
It's a bit blunt.
I wasn't expecting that.
At least use some flowery language.
They had three burritos and then they had it off.
They went to Chipotle and had it off.
Wow, I wasn't expecting that.
The thing is, it shouldn't be allowed. People shouldn't just be allowed to write anything like that.
But you can write it about whatever you want. So, obviously, Matthew Lewis, amongst many other things, was in Harry Potter. But there's a lot of fan fiction written about Matthew Lewis online, everywhere.
Oh, some of it as well.
I know some of it.
Some of it is, you know, we obviously can't say it now.
Well, you say that. We can late at night. So imagine how uncomfortable it would be if, let's say, in front of a live studio audience at about 11 p.m. next Monday on the Red Button and on Radio 1, Matthew Lewis was to read out and we reenact some of his fan fiction. Some of the more uncomfortable stories written about Matthew Lewis. Actual fan fiction from websites.
Oh, that's a good idea. Like, will he go for it?
I don't know. But well, let's try. He seems up for a laugh. He's a good bloke. Yeah. He played Inuyo Bingo before. But we found some of the most awkward fan fiction about Matthew Lewis. And we're going to perform it at the Edinburgh Festival Monday night.
So he's going to be reading his own fan fiction.
Yeah, and that's uncomfortable. Especially the stuff we found. Not particularly daytime friendly. But make sure you watch it, if you're allowed. Red Button, 10 p.m, Monday. BBC. One. Eminem and Beautiful on BBC Radio 1. Emo.
I've got to admit, I got emo to this song once after a night out, come back from the pub, and I remember watching a video to this and then probably posting it on Facebook or something saying like...
Oh, you do that at a certain time as well.
So now I've got the best mates in the world. Oh, don't take anything for granted, that kind of thing.
Yeah, you always do that. It's really funny. I know when you've been on the old beers because it's... normally the video goes up, Yeah.
No, but it's a night. I'm always nice about it.
Oh, no.
I'm not going on ranting.
It's all from a good place.
Well, sometimes. But,
But it's from a good place, generally. What other songs have you put up in the past?
Man Streets. In the Mirror.
No, you haven't.
I think so. And then, yes, a lot of street songs. Mm.
Scott Mills on Radio 1. On that subject, by the way, we should say, with this Matthew Lewis thing, we're not hating on fan fiction at all. This is a celebration of it. A lot of people are like, well, what's wrong with fan fiction? We're just being artistic and expressing. No, it's absolutely fine.
I think it's just incredible getting someone to read their own fan fiction late at night.
And some of it, a lot of it is brilliant. A lot of it is a little bit freaky. And that's the stuff that we're certainly going to major on Monday night.
But I guess when people write fan fiction, they never expect, or they probably don't expect, the person that they're writing about to actually read it, let alone act it out.
Never. So, do you reckon some people that have written some Matt Lewis fanfiction will be like, oh no.
The Scott Mills Daily.
BBC Radio 1, that is Call to Mind in a Family Sketch.
Can't use Tippex on a passport form.
Okay, right.
It's a lesson that we've now having to learn the hard way.
Today,
I fly 1 month today. On my holiday, so I need this form done.
Look, I'm filling it in.
I've given in and basically said Scott can be a sort of counter signatory, whatever it is. And so Scott has happily done that. And
I have written Christopher. I've written Christopher in the wrong place.
He's writing things in the wrong place. It's all gone wrong.
It says, "How long have you known this person?" It's all fine. I put how many years, and then it says, "Please say how." For example, employer, colleague, friend, and so on. I may have put Christopher in that box.
So what do I do now?
I don't know.
And the thing is, I need it because I don't look like the picture in my passport anymore.
I know. Do you want me to get you another one to start again from the post office?
Right.
I mean, I can do this today for you.
Okay, as long as you're committed to that.
Am I allowed to use any kind of Tippex?
I don't think so.
Do not use correction fluid.
Oh! Do not use correction fluid, so we'll start that process again.
What about if I, like, slightly cross it out?
It's almost predictable.
No, sorry. No. Can I cross it out?
No.
All right, okay. I'll go to the post office. Whoever the genius is that's just texted in to 81199...
Thank you so much.
You are amazing. You've saved us.
So explain it again. So basically, you're trying to fill out my passport form. It's already gone wrong because you've written things in the wrong place.
Yeah, all right. Look, I'm a responsible adult. I've put where I work. I've put my phone number. I've put my postcode. It's all fine. My full name, your full name, and then...
So it's how do you know?
For 5 years. And then it says, please say how you know them. So I put in that bit, Christopher.
Yes, so we thought it was game over at that point.
Because I've done it wrong. But then all you put is, afterwards, is a colleague.
Yes.
So now it says, I've known you 5 years, Christopher is a colleague. And Perfect. That's how I know you.
So thank you to the person that texted and suggested that. Genius.
You are a genius. I think you've saved us there and I hope they accept it. Hey, do you know what I'm enjoying at the moment?
What's
on
that?
The internet? Do you know this kid?
What did you think about the ride?
It was great. And apparently, Dad. I've never been on live Dad. Television before.
He's just been on a ride. It's so good.
But I don't watch the news because I'm a kid, and apparently every time, Grandpa just gives me the remote after we watch the Powerball.
Apparently.
It's the Powerball.
Tell me about the ride. What did you think about the ride?
Well, it was great. Because apparently you're spinning around, and apparently every time you get dizzy,
yeah.
The slowest dudes get dizzy.
Is it fun?
Yeah. And I've never, ever been on live television. I never, ever be on live television.
Are you excited?
Yeah, and apparently I already went down the super slide. When I went down the one, I was scared half to death.
Apparently.
The Scott Mills Daily. BBC Radio 1.
Angus McThrusty there and his friends from Twin Atlantic.
And Sam.
What is it?
Sam McThrusty.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Angus.
Where'd you get that from?
I don't know. I thought his name was Angus McThrusty. That was Twin Atlantic and Brothers and Sisters. And this is Scott Mills on Radio 1. You alright, Greg?
Yeah. I'm fine.
Good.
I am all right.
I'm all right. What do you mean?
You?
Yes, I'm fine. But I am.
Good. I'm having a lovely day.
Yeah. Enjoying the cricket?
Yeah.
I've just had to fill in Chris's passport form. So that went well.
I just wrote in the wrong boxes.
Oh. At least I wrote in black marker.
He styled it out. He put... Because you've got to say... It's for the counter-signatory bit. You've got to say how we know each other.
Yeah.
And I put Christopher in that bit.
So you just put Christopher.
But then I put, is a colleague. Yeah.
It's all fine.
Absolutely. One of our listeners came up with that. Brilliant. Okay, so it's Greg James today on Real or No Real, a selection of facts, some absolutely fictitious, some proper real.
The song Crazy Stupid Love was originally written for Kylie Minogue, but she gave it away to Cheryl Cole.
Ooh.
Bad one to give away.
Sloppy seconds.
Now, this does happen quite a lot. A lot of songwriters just pitch their songs out to different artists, and some go, no thanks, and then so it gets to someone else instead.
So this song would be Kylie's hand-me-downs then?
Wow. Yes, it would.
That's what happened to We Found Love, apparently. You know Calvin Harris?
Yeah.
He tried to... Like, he gave loads of songs to Rihanna before that, and then eventually she went, I have that one.
Yeah.
And who was it originally for then?
Well, nobody. I think he just wrote it as, you know, just his. Just wrote it, and then...
Umbrella by Rihanna was meant for Britney Spears.
Was it?
Yeah.
Wow.
And
wouldn't work with Britney.
Was it Telephone?
Also meant for Britney Spears. And there's a demo of it going around. It doesn't sound right.
But was
it doesn't sound
it
right.
It just doesn't sound right. But was Crazy Stupid Love meant for Kylie? And she was like, nah.
I don't know. They're very different people. That's
I can hear her on it. Yeah, I can hear it.
Spinning around. Maybe without Tiny Temper. I don't know. I'm going to say real.
No real.
That one is real.
Wow. Yeah. I reckon it might be too poppy for Kylie these days. La, 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 la. She gave it away, and then it became Cheryl's fourth solo number one.
Do you reckon it would have been number one if Kylie had it?
Good question.
What do you reckon?
No.
Thank you, Scott Mills.
Next.
Well, you're like the pop queen.
I'm the oracle.
Abbreviation FOMO was made up by Roald Dahl in his 1991 novel, The Vicar of Nibbleswick.
What? FOMO? Missed the first bit. FOMO.
The abbreviation FOMO was made up by Roald Dahl in his 1991 novel, The Vicar of Nibbleswick.
So we talked about it before. FOMO, the fear of missing out. When all your mates are doing something brilliant, you're not there. That's FOMO.
Mm. Interesting. I haven't read that Roald Dahl one.
I haven't. Not that one.
I haven't read Roald Dahl. Preempt that
whoa.
Panic, we've all had a bit of Dahl, but when we were younger, that's what I'm saying.
Sure. I don't think so. I don't think this would be true. It sounds like he might have used FOMO, but for something else. I don't know. That was the thing then, back then.
I don't know, abbreviations didn't really happen that much back then. Well, I can't remember reading LOL or
it was one of his later books, though.
Right. Oh. But no, I just don't think these abbreviations... I think these abbreviations are a new thing. I think FOMO's is going to be a new thing.
So I mean, abbreviations have been around for quite a while. But
I suppose.
RIP.
Yeah.
It's been around for quite a while.
That's been around for a while, yeah.
ASAP.
Yeah, that's been on for ages.
RSVP.
That's been on for a while.
B&Q.
Yeah. RSBB, of course, off of birds.
What else, Mills?
RSPCA. All abbreviations.
Oh, this is weird.
Big shout out to the RSPB.
Yeah. FOMO, is it off of Roald Dahl?
No real.
That one is no real.
Yeah, of course it's not. He's far too classy for that.
What about this, though? I'm real or no real?
Chris Martin's great-great-grandfather, William, invented putting the clocks back for the winter.
Oh, no.
What?
This is a nonsense. And he's got a song called Clocks.
So,
true.
Chris Martin's great-great-great-grandfather.
No, it's pretty fine.
Great. Oh, no,
sorry. Bad the clocks.
But.
I think...
It was only his great-great-grandfather.
Well, you know what? This is just stupid enough to be true because he has a song called Clocks.
Can't be.
Well,
what an incredible family.
We're saying that he invented the idea of having British summertime.
I still haven't quite got my head around British summertime.
What do you mean?
That's an odd thing to say. the idea that...
You're basically my mum. It's 4 o'clock now, but really it's 5. That's what she always does. Yeah. A month after the clocks change.
It's 4:30, but it's close to
4:30.
At some point, someone's gone, right, we're just going to lob the clocks back an hour.
Yeah.
But no, we're not going to do that.
Why not?
That's like me now being a pioneer, like Chris Martin's great 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 grandfather, by going, right, I'm going to add another day in the week. It's going to be on the end of the weekend between Sunday and Monday.
What do you call it?
Fun
day?
Yeah, fun day's the obvious shout.
It's beneficial, though.
So I'm just going to add another day. Now, at the time, right now, you two are going to go, idiot, you're not doing that. But that's no different than what Chris Martin's great-great-grandfather probably did.
I remember in the United Arab Emirates, I was there when they changed the weekend.
What happened? What do you mean?
Used to be Saturday and Sunday, I think. Then it became Friday and Saturday. Just changed it.
Can someone explain to me why we can't all just add another day to the weekend? I'm saying keep the other days, but we just... Am I misunderstanding something really simple here?
So you want Friday, Saturday, Sunday to be the weekend and we have four days?
No, I'm saying we have Saturday, Sunday. Work Monday to Friday is normal, but we throw in another day between Sunday and Monday.
Well,
just everything goes back. Do you know what I mean?
It's just a lot of reprinting calendars and stuff, isn't it?
No, but that's
a lot of reprogramming.
Did Chris Martin's great-great-grandfather invent daylight saving time?
No real.
I don't think it was just him, but real.
That one is real.
Yes. Oh, great fact.
His great-great-grandfather is William Willett, who worked out that we could all have one... We could all have more daylight by putting the clocks back for winter.
That's great. But really obvious, isn't it? But
clever man.
Clever man.
Helen in Northampton says, we made up FOMO at uni in 2008. Pioneer there.
No, I don't think you were, though, Helen.
It's probably the earliest discovery of FOMO that I know of.
People at university think that is the world.
We made that.
She says it's ours.
2008.
Not yours. I was doing it on this show probably 2006, love. And next.
Radio 1's Lord of the Dance, Danny Howard, once claimed he wouldn't go out with anyone who liked to eat bread and oil as a starter.
He's quite fussy about his foods. Didn't you
he
say
is.
That?
He's really
not keen on the fish.
Imagine my surprise when he sent his dinner back, not once, not twice, but three times at a restaurant in Ibiza, only on Sunday night.
Wow.
He
likes things quite...
plain.
Quite plain, yeah, quite
bland.
Basic. Yeah, he does. He
doesn't like fish.
I had quite a classy kebab with him, actually quite a while ago, and he was, it was very much dry.
Yeah, that he won't have any sauces.
No, but I mean, it was a classy one, and he paid.
Danny Howard... he said he doesn't like people that would have bread and oil as a starter. Danny Howard would be the kind of person that would have wouldn't have bread. He would have a white crusty roll, and on it would be butter, and the butter would be so thick that you can see your teeth marks in it when you've bitten in.
He's the kind of guy, oil in the hair, not on the food.
That's right. That's his motto.
I've had a couple of dinners with Danny, and I do remember him being quite a basic eater. Mm. And I'm not even that complicated, but compared to even me, he's quite...
He's a Danny Coward when it comes to trying.
What we're saying,
he doesn't like
his he likes his ladies to be straight down the line.
What?
No, but it's
I'm sorry, the original
date,
real
on a date.
He what?
So you're saying the lady... No, we were talking about food.
Yeah, he likes a lady in the street and a freak in the bed.
No, right. No. Play the thing again. He's talking about... Isn't it
Radio 1's Lord of the Dance, Danny Howard, once claimed he wouldn't go out with anyone who liked to eat bread and oil as a starter.
So he doesn't like a well-to-do lady.
So this is what I've said to him.
Saying.
What I said to him is that I'm the perfect wingman for him and he's the perfect wingman for me because I do.
Yeah.
Mm. I think this is real.
Right. Real.
That one's real.
Yes, it is. You were right to go that way. We have this from a reliable source who works with Danny Howard. So now, you ladies, don't ask for bread and oil or you're off. And at that round of Real No Real, we have the scores here, which are...
I got 30, Greg got 30.
Yes.
Yeah.
What's on today, Gregoire?
Today, Mayor of Ware, Rihanna with films, and mega star, mega lovely person, Christina Hendricks. Special guest after five.
When you dressed up,
I dressed up like a sleaze bag for her.
Greg James in 5 minutes. Those were the maximum lols that happened on Thursday's show. Join us tomorrow between 1 and 4 on BBC Radio 1 or get Friday's show contained on this handy free podcast.
Scott Mills, BBC Radio 1.